Hey, welcome back to another episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery. I'm your host, Eric Hatterscheidt, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the headlines that I've used to market and convert to bookings.
Hey, my name is Eric Hatterscheidt, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters.
All right. Awesome to have you back. If you're new here, I'm still Eric. I am the guy that is hosting this show. And on this episode, we're talking about headlines. Let me preface this a little bit with why I want to talk about headlines. One, honestly, I was prompted by a conversation that I had last week in one of the groups that I'm mentoring. We talked about copywriting, and one of the questions that came up was, how do I write an effective headline? Is there kind of a standard set of rules that I can use to guide the headlines that would work for me? And so I'm going to discuss some of the things that I talked about in that conversation. But even before that, let's actually discuss why headlines are worth talking about. So my perspective on this comes from the concept of first principles. And if you're not familiar with first principles, this is something that has been around forever and is common in the scientific world. But it's something that's been kind of repopularized in a way by Elon Musk, who has Tesla and SpaceX and a number of other successful endeavors. And I'd say most of you at this point have heard of Elon Musk. But when he was starting his companies, he started on a foundation of first principles. And essentially, what that really means is going back to what are the most important core elements that you need in order to achieve a result. And really, as part of that, what are the facts? What are the things that are known to be true and that you need in order to achieve your end result? I might be botching that as far as first principles goes, but that's my interpretation of it as far as we're concerned here today. From a scientific world point of view, they're not going to like that response. But that's essentially what it is going back to the base principles and saying, what do we need? What's the bare minimum we need here to understand as true in order to get the job done? So to give you an example, for Elon Musk, when he was looking to start SpaceX and essentially create a company that put satellites and people into space, he started by going to the Russians and asking them to purchase rockets that they had built back in the 60s, I believe. And they cost too much. Turns out to buy space shuttles from the Russians, it was a bit pricier than he anticipated. So he asked himself, from a first principle standpoint, what do I know and what do I need in order to achieve a certain result? And I think part of the philosophy here that's worth mentioning is a lot of times what happens is the popular method becomes the method that everyone uses. But often the popular method is not the most efficient method. It's just the one that people use because they have seen someone else use it, and the assumption is that it is the most efficient method. So the assumption going into this rocket ship purchase was that the rocket ships that were there and used would be the most efficient way of expending capital and getting people and objects into space. However, upon discussions with the Russians, found out that they were more expensive than he could afford, and so he asked himself the question, what would it cost just for the base materials to build a rocket and essentially to hire engineers to put it together? And when he calculated those numbers, he found out that it would be a fraction of the cost of what it would cost him to go out and buy it. And so using that first principles concept, he built a company from the ground up. He looked at buying the raw materials and putting these rockets together. And as part of that, since he was going that far, he took a first principles approach to the actual engineering of everything and said, hey, I would make a lot of assumptions in rocket propelled flight should we go back to the drawing board, look at the math and say what's feasible today, as opposed to just accepting that the way that rockets have been built up to now are the best way of doing it. And it turns out that there's been a number of advancements in the scientific community and in physics that have allowed a whole new design for the rocket ships that he's building, as well as using new materials and being able to now efficiently launch things into space for a fraction of the cost of any other rocket organization out there, most of which are countries. So if you're listening to this and you've stuck with me this far, great, because you have learned a little bit about first principles, but you're probably like, what the hell does that have to do with copywriting? Thanks for sticking with me. Here's where it gets important. I've asked myself this question. When I learned about the way that, you know, Elon Musk built those companies, I said, is there a way to apply first principles to marketing? In other words, what are things that we know to be true, where there's a known pattern there, it gets a certain result, and that's almost factual, and what is the most important thing to look for in marketing that gives you a mass leverage on the efficiency of your marketing, the effectiveness of your marketing, in order to get a result, which is a conversion and in our case a booking. So applying all of that to marketing, and myself having the good fortune of having worked with hundreds and hundreds of businesses, and then also just consumed a ton of marketing content over the years, read dozens of books, listened to hundreds of podcasts, gone to dozens and dozens of conventions, consuming content on a daily basis with marketing and always kind of honing my skill. Looking at everything I knew, I realized that if you took all of the efforts that you put into marketing and you looked at what's the most effective, well, the most effective thing that you can do is focus on your message, your communication. Because if no one's willing to either read or listen to your message, that's as far as you'll ever get. So the most important thing you can do is understand how to communicate the thing that you're creating or selling. And then within that, so if that's true, this is just my own philosophy. This isn't something that I've necessarily studied in marketing. This is just my perspective on it. But if that's true, if the most important thing you can do when it comes to marketing is effectively communicate your message, it is well known within that realm. And that is copywriting. Copywriting is how you communicate the message. So within that sector, it's very, very well known that the most effective part of that message in order to get the conversion is the headline. No one contends that fact. In fact, there's been a number of studies done on this, and they say that on average, somewhere around 80% of the effectiveness of your message is all due to the headline. So you might have one headline and you might have pages and pages and pages of text to communicate your message, or a long conversation to communicate your message. The thing that matters the most in the effectiveness of getting that conversion or that booking is the headline, because the headline is the first thing that someone sees. And as you know, if you're, let's just pretend you're reading a newspaper, you don't read a headline that sounds super boring and go, oh, that's super boring, but just to confirm, let me read the rest of this article and see if there's anything else interesting in there. That's not the way our brains work. Our brains scan for the headlines that look the most interesting to us. We pick the ones where we want to know more, and then we delve into the written content. And that could be in a newspaper, that could be maybe we're scrolling through social media and we see a headline or that first line that stops, has us stop and say, oh, I want to know more about this. That could be an ad. That could be clickbait. That could be just scrolling through a website and seeing the headline for a website and saying, oh, I want to read more about this section. So the headline is everything. The headline is what actually gets someone to stop and pay attention. It's the hook. It's what gets people intrigued, and then they want to know more. That's why I want to talk about headlines, because it really, really denotes the effectiveness of your marketing copy. So what I'll do as well, I'm going to create this podcast on headlines, and then the next podcast I'll actually talk about the rest of marketing copy, so what the rest of the message looks like. But it makes sense to talk about the headline on its own in a whole separate podcast, because it is the most important part of your copy, and it's the most important part of all your messaging. So another question becomes, okay, that's great. we're looking at it from a first principles perspective, what's the foundational piece that we should focus on? And we factually know that is the most effective piece in our marketing. That's great. Now, how do we write headlines? How do we write effective headlines? So what I'm going to draw you to is a piece of information that I got. It's a little bit obscure, but over the years studying different marketing content, what I started to do is I started to look at older pieces of content, or older, I shouldn't say content, but older material in terms of learning, because I'd consumed most of the new marketing stuff, and there's probably always going to be more stuff I don't know about, but a lot of the common well-known books within the marketing, copywriting, sales world, I've read most of them. And so I started asking myself, what would happen if I went back in time and read materials and books that were written decades ago? And the reason that that was important to me was because if I could see marketing principles that worked in the early 1900s and in the mid 1900s and today, it stands to reason that the piece that works there is due to human psychology. In other words, you can find an evergreen component. And if you can reverse engineer by looking backwards, hey, this is what was effective, you can, to some degree, you can have success moving forward in just re-engineering those components into a modern setting. And so one of the pieces of content I read, one of the books I read, was a book called Tested Advertising Methods by John Caples. And that book was originally written in 1930. And in that book, he talks about the most effective headlines and what they found through thousands of pieces of marketing and thousands of headlines, what they found to be the most effective for the things that they were selling. And John Caples worked for a large, if not the largest, marketing firm of the time. So he had a lot of reference points for what was effective, and they studied this. I mean, that's why the book's called Tested Advertising Methods, because they realized that they took a scientific approach to marketing, and if they did that, they were just going off the data. What was the most effective in terms of headlines? What he found was in order, there were a number of categories that headlines fell into that were very effective. And so what I want to do is give you those categories. And if a headline falls outside of one of those categories, I would take pause and ask yourself, is this something that I should even bother trying? Or definitely, is this something that I should put money behind? So let's go through these categories that are talked about in this book. And these are categories that I've used in creating my own headlines. And these are categories that I've used to actually get conversions. So the first category is self-interest. If you're taking notes, there's going to be four categories. The first category is self-interest. And this is not really a complex method to understand, because when you're looking at communicating with someone else, the thing that that person is most interested in, always, as a rule, is themselves. So when you're creating a headline, you want to create a headline that speaks to their desires and sometimes their fears. That can be very effective as well, but in this case, we're going to speak to a little bit of both. If you can have their fears and their desires in there, but something that they are interested in for themselves, self-interest headline. So I'll try and give you guys examples that I've used in the tourism market and we've used effectively to get really good conversions. So winning ads on our end. In this case, if we're talking about self-interest headline, one that I've used is, this Okanagan resort provides a safe space for your energetic kids to play while you can read a book in peace. So you'll notice that these headlines are relatively long too. That's okay. It's okay to have a long headline, as long as there's space there for the person to read it. So that plays into, in this case, almost all of these headlines. Yeah, I was going to say almost all of these headlines, or maybe with the exception of one, are catered towards moms, because we focus on our core group, which is bringing families in. And within that family, if we're advertising to a cold prospect, it's the mom that we're talking to. So we're talking directly to moms and we're addressing both their pain point and their desire. You'll notice that. So we're addressing their self-interest in what they don't want, and then we're addressing their self-interest in what they do want. So what they want is they want a safe space for their kids to play but they also don't want to be running and chasing after them all day long. They want the kids to be able to go and play or play with other kids, not have to worry about them, and actually get a moment of peace to sit and relax and read a book. For most of the moms that we're drawing in, they're readers. They're taking this vacation to actually spend some time reading. So that's headline number one, self-interest. These, by the way, as far as I remember from the book, these go in order of what's most effective. So starting with self-interest, number two, news. So a news type headline is either talking about something new that you've developed or something new within the market or the industry that's going to play into your favor. So in this case, here's a headline that we used in order to capitalize on news, something new that we developed. This is also, there's also the implication that you are developing new things. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're not asking yourself on a regular basis, what can I develop that's new? How can I serve my guests better? Then I would very much implore you, I would ask you to start asking yourself that question and start putting that into action. What can I do to make the experience a much better experience for my guests? So in this case, the headline that we put together was, a local resort is now asking their guests to surrender their SIM cards. And then subheadline, and why people are begging them to do it. So in this situation, this had to do with us trying to get families to disconnect from their normal life, so normal cell phone connections. We also noticed that guests wanted their cell phone for photos and all the rest. And so what we started doing is putting together a program for guests to voluntarily surrender their SIM cards so they wouldn't have texts and phone messages and everything coming in for the time that they were with us. But then they could still use their phone. They could use their phone to take pictures. And then we have a limited space for Wi-Fi where they can connect and send messages back and forth to the core people that they wanted to. So that's that headline number two. And that's what that article would talk about. Headline number three. So topic number three is curiosity-based headlines. So curiosity headlines are ones where it's just a hook and you have to read more. There's a concept that we call in marketing, we call opening the loop. So opening the loop is basically telling half a story. And in order for the person to understand or find out what happens in the rest of that story, they need to read the article in order to close the loop for themselves. And one thing that I know is absolutely true for myself and is true for most humans is it's really difficult for us to listen to an interesting story and not know the end of it. So we hook people in with a curious or an interesting beginning that alludes to the end, but we don't actually give the ending away. And this is a really effective tool to use, not only in headlines, but we use this really effectively in our opt-ins as well, which is a whole nother podcast that I did. If you look back a few podcasts, we did a podcast on opt-ins. But in this case, using curiosity, using hooks, here's an example of one that we put together, and I'll give you the context once I give you the headline. But the headline for us was, in quotes, imprinting is now providing an opportunity for Canadian grandparents to deepen bonds with their grandkids. Now, what is that? The point here is that no one knows what that means. No one knows what imprinting means because we've made up the usage of that term. I mean, obviously imprinting is a term, but the way that we've used it, the context is not clear. So now if you're a Canadian grandparent, you want to figure out what imprinting is if you want that desired result, which is to deepen bond with your grandkid. And what this headline led to was it led to a landing page where we talked about how grandparents could connect with their grandkids without the interference of screens, and specifically, step-by-step, what they could do in order to make sure that that connection was happening in a way that was a win-win for the grandparent and the grandkid, and they both enjoyed it, and the grandparent could pass on some of the memories that they wanted to pass on to their grandkids. We wrote this whole article about it, and then that led to them being able to book with us at our resort because we fostered that kind of environment that was really conducive to that happening. So that was headline number three. In that case, we're targeting grandparents, but that was a curiosity-based headline. Number four, this is the last one I have for you guys. Number four category is the quick and easy way. So everybody wants the quick and easy way. Inherently, everyone is lazy. Even hardworking people would rather, they would rather take the easy road to get the same result, because who wouldn't? Who wouldn't rather take the easy road to get the same result? In this case, the headline that I have for you is the three simple steps to get your kids to abandon a screen and really connect with you. And in this case, what are we doing? We're just sharing a short article around here's how to draw your kids away and get them fully interested and engaged in activities outside of the screen. And here's the kind of environment that really lends itself to that. And then who provides that environment? Well, of course we do. So there's going to be a call to action in that, at the end of that article, that leads to a booking. So those are the four categories. Let me give you a couple other tidbits here when it comes to writing the headline. There's a bit of a formula that was used by John Caples. He doesn't talk about it in the book, but you kind of reverse engineer this in the headlines that he's put together. And that's where he puts together some kind of proof or demonstration as the first part of the title of the headline. And then he will talk about the pain and taking that pain and turning it into a benefit. So I don't know if I have an example for you guys of a headline for that. I kind of wrote that as a last minute note, like, okay, here's the formula that I've seen. But if you're looking for proof or demonstration, maybe in this case, maybe I might alter the last headline so that it kind of falls into that formula. So the last headline I had was the three simple steps to get your kids to abandon a screen and really connect with you. I might just add the three simple steps backed by science to get your kids to abandon a screen and really connect with you. That would be a really great formula for how John Caples might have written this. So the proof or demonstration is backed by science. So the three simple steps that are backed by science. The pain is the fact that kids are ignoring you and staring into a screen. And then the benefit is being able to take that and turn it into a deeper connection. So how to do that. So that's essentially what I'm going to leave you guys with for headlines, is there's the four headline categories and then the actual formula, which is proof plus the pain turned into a benefit equals a great headline. And we've used these headlines primarily. We've used them to convert to bookings. We've used them on our webpage first and foremost. So actually having like a headline where people can get kind of lost in the copy on the webpage, which I've talked about in a few of the previous podcasts. The other spot definitely that we've used them is on social media. So both in organic content and then also in paid content, especially in the past, using paid content and using these headlines, we tested a lot of them. The headlines I gave you are headlines that we've tested and we've utilized for conversions. And would they work today? Probably, but we don't know for sure. You'd have to test them. It might take a little bit more tweaking. What I'm trying to give you more than just the headlines, if you're here and you're just copying the headlines down and using the headlines, I'm going to say there's a good chance that those headlines, they might not work for you exactly as they are. What I'm trying to give you is the winning formula. I'm trying to get you to give you the evergreen content, so the stuff that will always work. I'm trying to give you the principles. The headlines themselves, there's lots of headlines that I've written that I thought were great and are not the ones that convert. You ultimately have to test a few in order to find out what works for you and your region, for your audience. But I'm not trying to say take these headlines and use them because they will 100% work. I'm trying to tell you use these principles and create a headline for your specific audience, to their desires and their pains and their needs. And that will probably be a lot more effective for you than just a shot in the dark. All right. So if you've stuck with me this far, what I'll let you know is in the next podcast that I'm doing, I'm going to go deeper into the copywriting formula. So we've kind of covered headlines here. I will brief that in the next podcast, but then I'm going to go into, okay, what happens in the body copy? What happens when you want to write the paragraph on your website? Or what happens when you want to write the message in an ad? Or what happens when you want to write a full sales page? or what happens when you want to create a script for a video that you want to send to a guest about something new you're creating, or what happens when you are, again, maybe creating a video for someone that's never heard of you before. What do you say in that script? I'm going to give you the formula for that in the next podcast. So stay tuned for that one. And stay classy, stay cool. If you guys are getting anything out of these podcasts, love to hear from you. Leave me a review on wherever you're listening to this. Go and do that now. Leave me a review. If you haven't done that yet, if you've heard me say leave a review now and you haven't done it, then go leave me a review. I don't care if they're negative reviews, because I am here to give you the content that's most needed to you, most relevant to you. And if you're telling me that this isn't it and there's something else that you want, great, then I'll give that to you. But I want to serve the tourism market, and really tourism, I'd say peers is more appropriate. So let me know what you're getting out of this. If you enjoy it, that really helps me out. If you want to give me feedback, I will absolutely listen to that. I'll read the reviews and create something that works for you. If you want to get in touch with me directly, you can get in touch with me at info@tourismmanagementacademy.com. All right. You have a great day, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this, and we'll see you in the next podcast.